Thank you. gotta make it. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Oh, something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Oh, something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Oh, something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Go on.
Thank you. Thank the Lord.
I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm happy for what we feel. And I know that what we feel is real. And when you know it's real, can't nobody talk you out of it. I woke up this morning thinking about how difficult it must have been for the people, the Jewish people, after that they had received Christ in their life and received this message that He was their Messiah. And how different their worship became. You know, and I'll just relate a little bit from my past experience. I grew up as a young Baptist boy, come up through First Baptist Church in Bentonville, and went to Sunday school, went to revivals, heard, you know, hell and brimstone preachers, you know, preach you under the pews, set out in stadiums, football stadiums, and listen to the fire and brimstone. I guess that's the terminology I was looking for, fire and brimstone preaching. And if you don't, you know, change your life, you know, and if you've never been experienced, if you've never experienced any of that, it's a good experience. And so I was in the Baptist church as a young boy up until the time I was 12. And my mom met this people. And we come into the church, and I'd never been in a Holy Ghost church, a Spirit-filled church before. So as you can imagine, it was different. You know, it was really different. And, you know, I was used to service lasting for an hour. You know, maybe an hour and 5 minutes. Pretty punctual, you know, as far as services were concerned. It was pretty cut and dry. You knew what to expect. You know, Sunday, he was out by noon, and you know, we didn't watch football, but I'm sure a lot of people did. And you know, it was pretty structured. And then when we met this people, well, all that was out the window. You know, and of course what happened was, is a lady invited my mom. She was a home health nurse. And this lady started telling my mom about the body of Christ and different things. And my mom's curiosity took hold, and she wasn't satisfied with, in fact, they weren't even going to church at the time. I was going. As a young boy, I'd get up and I'd ride my bike to church on Sunday morning. I had a desire in my heart, I always have since I was a little kid, to be in the house of God, and I still have that desire tonight, and I'm thankful for that. Her curiosity was piqued, and, well, riding a bicycle to church was out of the question, because the church that she wanted to go to was 30, well, according to her driving, 45 minutes away. And so, it wasn't interstate highway like it is now. It was through one town, stoplights, through the next town, stoplights, through the next town, stoplights. And, you know, it took forever to get there. And so that was a big change for me personally, in my relationship with the Lord. Well, I woke up this morning, I was thinking about the Jewish people and how different it had to become for them to become a part of the new church, to take on this new message and no longer feel the necessity for wearing a certain style of clothing with, you know, different colors of thread embroidered in their clothing, or having a certain meal on a certain day, or making certain sacrifices. For me, it's incomprehensible the changes that they had to make in their personal life and how that they recognized their walk with God. You know, what they valued, highly valued as, you know, the things that they considered to be significant elements of their worship now weren't really that important. You know, because Jesus is our sacrifice. We're no longer we're no longer having a sacrificial lamb, a Passover, things like that. Because Jesus is our sacrifice. And so just in my mind this morning, I was just considering the struggle that they must have had personally to make that transition into becoming a Christian. And the truth is we all struggle with where we've came from. And candidly speaking, I still struggle with where I came from. In part because I don't always know where I'm going. You know, in some ways, that's why it's a walk of faith. We're trusting that the Lord is directing our steps. And if take 5 years or 10 years, if you thought back 10 years from tonight to this time we're at right here, this day in which we live in, we wouldn't have imagined the changes and the dynamics and the things that would have occurred in just the last 5 or 10 years. But here we are. And you know what? If we're trusting the Lord and we're walking in faith, we'll be where God wants us to be in 5 years or in 10 years or in 15 years or in 20. We'll be exactly where the Lord wants us to be. And you know what? We'll be worshiping Him just exactly like He has in mind for us. And just like that song, there is something down inside of me that keeps telling me to go on. Even when I don't understand, or even when I can't quite, you know, see the big picture or get the gist of things, or maybe the vision isn't quite clear to me, there's still something, a motivation down inside of me that there's a hunger. That Jesus said, "He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." Hallelujah. That's a promise to each and every one of us, thank God. We can be filled of the good things that God has for each and every one of us. And so I want to encourage you tonight that while you may struggle with changes or things that are coming your way and things that we may or may not understand, don't be dismayed by it. Don't be intimidated by it. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord and know that He will guide and direct your steps. Know that He loves you, thank the Lord. And He brought you into this setting just this very night. He brought you into this congregation to plant something stronger, plant something deeper in your life, to give you a stronger desire, a stronger hunger, a greater determination, hallelujah, to go on and to serve Him as we're doing here tonight. Praise God. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." Hallelujah. Let's enter into His worship tonight. Let the Spirit of God direct your steps and be led by the Holy Ghost here as we gather together in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Painter just give us. We're fortunate, really, to be in the house of God and blessed beyond measure. Thought here today as Brother Smith was talking to us concerning the truths of the Word of God. We have to have the truth of the Word of God. We want to reach these rewards that of overcoming. We want to reach the plateau of the Garden of Eden. We want to reach the high place in God that He has available for us. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt you have to have the truth to get there. But aren't you glad to be in a place where you can get truth? And Sister Ann and I were sitting at home last night watching quartet singing. And I don't know about you folks, but when I enjoy quartet singing. I'm one of them guys that have enjoyed music nearly all of my life. And but there's something about singing that does something for a person's life if they just hear songs. I like to hear songs that has truth in them. I really do. She and I were sitting there last night listening to the quartet sing and enjoying some and enduring others because of what they were saying. What they were saying was just pure nonsense according to the Word of God. And I'll make reference to one, and if this bothers anybody, please come and talk to Brother Smith about it. Well, I don't mean to offend anyone, but they made reference in one of the songs that was sung last night concerning children that were not born yet. And, you know, that there's a special place in heaven for these children, you know. And I thought, Lord, I am so glad that You've given us the understanding of the Word of God that we have in our lives. I used to think along those lines, Brother Painter, I used to think that children, when they died, they'd go straight to heaven. Of course, you know, some of them bad folks. I never went to a funeral. I think Brother Smith made mention of this the other day. I've never attended a funeral where that anybody ever went to the bad place. Never have. I went to one funeral one time where the preacher knew what kind of guy he was preaching a funeral of, and he didn't put him in heaven. He didn't put him in heaven. I watched him, you know. And I thought, my Lord, I don't know if that guy's got a revelation of the resurrections or if he just knows what kind of man that was laying in that coffin and he wouldn't dare put him up there where God was at. I don't know what his situation was, but I know for a fact that he sure didn't put him in heaven. But he never did say that he was in the bad place either. But I used to believe those things and come here, begin to hear the Word of God and begin to receive the truth of the Word of God. And Sister Ann and I was sitting there last night and we was listening to this music and she looked at me, she said, Wayne, I want you to know that I love you dearly. But she said, when I resurrect, she said, I'm not going to look for you to become my husband again. I said, well, I said, I do understand that. You know, when we said the marriage vows, it's we're married unto death. Once we die, we're no longer married. But I said, this much I do know. That, you know, if we get in the crowd, I said, I'm going to recognize you being there. I'm going to recognize your voice. I'm going to be able to hear you. Has anybody enjoyed Sister Ann being in church with us through the years? Oh, Lord, what a power. The only thing that would keep me from being able to pick her voice out is this, is that if we had about four or five dozen folks that done the same thing she does, how would you like to be in a church like that where somebody's saying, Jesus, hallelujah, bless the Lord. My Lord, Brother Smith, he wouldn't ever stop preaching, would he? He'd just have to go until he just flat run out of breath. And I know for a fact that he can go for a long time. But truth is what's going to get us to where we want to go. And then we have to learn to walk by faith, because I for one, you know, I've read the book, I've looked at the guidelines, and I can't find anywhere in there where it tells you how to do it, except, like Jesus said, he said, I come to do my Father's will. I come to do the will of him that sent me. I came not to do my own will. To me, he's telling us how to do it. Somebody said, well, how do you do that? I'm not sure exactly, but I believe that if we can follow the footsteps that Jesus left in the sands of time, that we'll be able to come out on the other side. My Lord, what an experience that we're looking forward to. Brother Smith was telling us today that we've had some good services. We've had some good times in the Lord. We've shouted. We've just gotten so excited we couldn't hardly stand ourselves at times. But there's greater things ahead. Can you believe that? Can you believe that there's something that's greater ahead of us than what we have tonight? When we're talking about the church restored, the Word of God coming forth, unadulterated. There's not any leaven in it. Brother, it's coming forth, and it'll touch our souls in such a way, hallelujah, that we'll come up to a higher plateau in God. Come into that garden position with Him. My Lord, and not only that, but we can keep applying it to our lives, and we can come out perfect overcomers and make the bride of Christ. That's what we're called for. I'm sorry. I can't help but get excited. I really can't. Because there's something about this that's so real to me. If you have a chance, an opportunity to be a part of it, you're special. I'm talking about you're really special because God, it takes God to touch your heart. It takes God to touch your mind. It takes God to do that. I can't do it. I've never been able to talk to somebody and then, you know, and get them to see what God's doing. Never been able to do that. I can tell you one thing, the Spirit of God can come down and begin to touch your soul. And it's like Brother Smith was talking about, Brother Pat said, your mind will begin to open up and you'll hear and see things in God that you didn't even know existed before. My Lord, and this is exciting. I'm thrilled to be here and to be a part of what He's doing in the earth and to know that He's got something greater in store for His people. My Lord, I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled to be a part.
Tonight, He's done stuff for me throughout my life. Things that you know you might not realize, but I'd like to tell y'all a story. Something that happened to me a long time ago. I may have been 4 years old, 5 years old. I don't know, but I was thinking about. I just remembered it the other day. I was thinking about it, but I used to. I guess most people in here know what Toy Story is, the movie Toy Story. Well, I used to have a Buzz Lightyear toy when I was little, when I was 4 or 5 years old. This wasn't just any Buzz Lightyear, though. This was a silver Buzz Lightyear. And his helmet lit up when I hit the button. So I would hit the button, he'd say something, and his helmet would light up and flash, and you hear all these lasers. Oh, it was cool. I'll just say that. It was a cool toy. As time went by, the little light under his helmet it died out, stopped working. But I still loved that toy. And I was outside one summer playing with a water hose, and I got my Buzz Lightyear toy all wet. And I tried to push the button, and he wouldn't make any sound anymore. It was sad. It was very sad. I thought my world had ended. But I actually prayed over my Buzz Lightyear toy, and I said, God, please help my toy to work. Please make him work again. I prayed, and honest to God, he's my witness. I pushed the button, and he started working. He started talking again, and the light under his helmet that had been burnt out lit up again. And I know. It's kind of silly to think of now, but a long time ago, that meant something to me. That meant, because that toy was special to me, and the fact that God thinks enough, you know, it just blew my mind. It's a silly little thing, but as I grew up, my problems became more and more complicated. I'm having a hard time on this test. If I don't pass this test, I may have to go redo this this section of my schoolwork. Lord, please help me with this test. And I learned over the years to lean on Him in all that I did. And my problems became bigger and bigger, and I know they will continue to get bigger and bigger. But probably the biggest problem I've had so far, biggest trial I went through in my life, was a time when I was not in church. And most of you remember that, but y'all prayed for me. And I had no desire whatsoever to come back and to worship God. But I'm thankful that God thought enough about me, that he took time to think of me and speak to my heart, when one day He just pricked my heart and said, Caleb, it's time to come home. It touched me so much. So what can I do? Can I sit back here knowing what God has done all this for me, and not do something about it, not give Him a praise for it? Can I praise Him every day for it? Not just when I come to church. Can I think of Him every single day? Can I pray every single morning I wake up, Lord, thank You for what You've done for me. Help me to give something back to You for what You've done for me. Not just give me every single day. Oh, this has been such a hard week. Lord, please just help me make it through the day. Help me make it through the day. How about, Lord, what can I do for You today? What can I do to benefit Your work? Because I've been given an opportunity here. I have an opportunity to be a part of the bride of Christ, to be a part of this wonderful body, to hear these great things, and to learn more and more. And I want to give Him a praise for that. I want to praise Him tonight. I don't want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. I want to give Him a real praise. I want to jump for Him. I want to jump for Him. I want to dance for Him. I want to give Him praise. Can I make that sacrifice? Can I make that sacrifice? Can I get out? Can I walk for Him? Can I run for Him? Can I give Him a praise tonight? Thank You, Lord. I'm thankful to be here. I want to always have that fire. I want us to all have a fire. I want us to stand. I want us to give Him a praise every single night in church, every single day in church or outside of church, at work, on the streets. I don't care. God is good. He is good everywhere. He is good anywhere and at all times.
Glory. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Woo! Glory. Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Thrill you with His blessings every day. Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Oh, isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Oh, isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? For Him. Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord?
A great day. I felt the Lord just from the beginning of today, and just started out with such a good Bible study even this morning, and then coming on into service and today and tonight, and I just feel so good today, and appreciate that. I thought of several different things as the day has progressed, and one of the things when Brother Nathan Painter was up and he's talked about, you know, if you look back over your life and even like 4, 5, 6 years ago or whatever, would you have known that you would be where you are today? And I thought certainly I wouldn't have known that I would have been here at this place and this time 5 or 6 years ago. And I thought that last Sunday morning when we weren't here and we were gone for a little while, and I thought that when we went to where we went, that it would feel like home there, but I was just ready to get out of there and come back. I told Jeff, and I said, I'm ready to get back here, and we got here late, and we thought about going on home, but I felt like that this was home here, you know, and you don't know what a relief that was for me to feel that in my mind and in my heart, and the song that the band played today for the offering, Feeling at Home. I was thinking about that over and over, and it just feels right here and just feels good. And I want to go on, though. I don't want to just concentrate on just that, but, you know, I want to see the Lord, and I do want to make heaven my home, and I do want to keep pressing on. And there is something down inside of me that keeps telling me to go on. There is in all of us. Evidently, we wouldn't even be here, but I just love the Lord, just feel good here today, and I do want to, you know, work on things in my life and overcome things and make the bride of Christ. We've been talking about, or Brother Smith's been talking about that a lot lately, and that is my end result that what I'm striving for. But every day is just a good day. It's a good day to serve the Lord, and I just love him so much and love all y'all, and just, I didn't have any great big thing, obviously. I'm just glad to be here.
Appreciate getting to be in the house of God tonight, like my wife. For the first time in a long time, I'm nervous on my feet. I don't know if that's really a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll find out by the end of this. One time a man got up, he said, I know I shouldn't be up, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but he went ahead and got up and said it anyway. He sat down, and the pastor said, well, you're right, you shouldn't have said that. But I appreciate God. I appreciate the message that we're allowed to sit under. There's lots of voices, lots of trumpets in the land. Not every instrument gives the same tone or the same tune. They can all play the same melody, but you can take a trumpet versus a saxophone or a clarinet or a flute. You can tune them all to the same note, but they all give off a different tone there, or sound, a different sound. We know that there's been watchmen set on the wall to guard and to sound off as we see the days approaching and the times are what they are. Many people, they asked Jesus, well, Jesus told them, he said, you look outside and see that the sky is red. Know what tomorrow is. We look out there and told the boys yesterday about the weather in Arkansas. I said, God don't control the weather in Arkansas. Travis Myers does. Just ask him. But really, he don't either. Ain't nobody got control of it except God. So many times, everybody else is trying to control something. God can't get his hands on it to get it controlled. And man has, that's something I've learned since coming here, is man has a way of thwarting God's plan. He can derail it for just a period of time, but God's God. He's going to have what he wants. He's going to have that church. And he could have had it already, but in the inherent nature of man and the corruptness that man has, we find that he needed to put something in us and to teach us, set forth a ministry, set forth a church, and a way to bring his people back. One of my favorite songs is Only the Redeemed. And there's a verse in it says that when the father reaches over and touches the son upon the shoulder, says, bring my family home to me. Sometimes I feel like one of them, whenever the Katrina hit down in New Orleans, those people were called, at first they was called displaced citizens. You ever feel like a displaced citizen? Sometimes I felt like a misplaced citizen. I wasn't where I needed to be. I had done got myself in a place I didn't need to be. I was misplaced. I wasn't in my place. I was displaced, that's for sure. But it was self-induced displacement. And we heard Brother Smith this morning. I enjoyed listening to him this morning and had my ears on and was trying to line up what I'm hearing versus what I've heard. And if we're not careful, it's always easy to hang on to what you used to hear. Hang on to what you heard 50 years ago. And not really, I'm going to say this saying, I don't know if it fits or not, but I'm going to give it a shot. My father-in-law used to tell us, I'm just an old hippie. I don't know what to do, whether to hang on to the old or let go. Yeah, hang on to the old or grab a hold of the new. I've always said this. Since I started in my ministry, is there's people they wouldn't trade grandma's brooch for the Hope Diamond. That's the truth. They hang on to that little old near worthless thing. Still has value. I said near. Still has some value to it, but they won't take a hold of something that really has great value. They come through the door and they're full of their ideologies. And you can't blame them, because I came through the door and I wasn't even a godly person of any sort. I was just a young boy. Sister Smith posted a picture on Facebook here a while back. I almost called her and told her, how could you do such a thing to me? What have I done to you for you to post that about me? But I came to church and she gave me a hug and all my disdain for that picture left. So, but I was about 15 years old and back in the 70s, I'm sorry, that would have been 85. In 1985, everybody wore them big old glasses. And I'm sitting there, they look like fish bowls on my head. They was Mr. Magoo. I think that is kind of coming back around. I think you're starting to see them again. Now they're all bright colors and huge and kind of goofy looking. Of course, if you had to grow up and wear them every day. But there's people that hang on to those things, and I was like that when I came to know the Lord. I knew some things, I guess. My dad had told me a few little old things here and there, and we had ideas. School had put some ideas in me. Life had put some ideas in me. Didn't really know what they were, but if you asked me, I'd have told you something. Then we come into the kingdom of heaven, and he starts to educate us, and it is an education. I told a man the other day, we all have to come up a different route. There's people that come up in the kingdom of heaven nice and easy. Their mother is, as Paul said, he said that I would cherish you or treat you as a nurse. Well, there's some people get raised up in the kingdom of heaven that way. Just nursemaid it over their whole life. And it seems like it's so easy. Not much in that. You know, I mean, they just... Boy, life just comes to them so comfortably. I've been talking to my boys about being comfortably poor. It's something that's an epidemic in this great country we live in. It's called comfortably poor. People can live in a very poor state of life and they're comfortable being there. They have just enough to live. They got three hots and a cot and a roof over their head and they're content with that. There's no drive. There's nothing there. No hustle to want to endeavor. Did you know that in the kingdom of heaven we can become just like that, where we're just comfortable? I'm not talking about just being poor in spirit. We can actually become poor in knowledge. Just because I asked a man one time, he's a great teacher. He's telling me, he's letting me know some things. And I said, well, maybe you just didn't teach the lesson right. He said, do what? I said, well, maybe you didn't teach it right. I didn't get it. Just because a teacher is a teacher don't mean that the pupil's getting the lesson. A true teacher understands that the pupil ain't getting the lesson and tries to help him get the lesson. That's what Mr. Dodd done for me. He took me off the back row where I couldn't play. We didn't have phones back then. We had all other tricks we done. We had many other gizmos to play with back in the day. I appreciate a good teacher. Appreciate being called to said underneath a strong minister. I don't like wishy-washy people. Even though we have them, I don't like wishy-washy leaders. You don't know which way they go. My father-in-law one time, he did that. I think they got him that hat. Had a bill at both ends of it. Said, I'm their leader. Which way did they go? It's hard to follow somebody like that, isn't it? Surely is. But we can become just comfortably poor. And Brother Paul David McGowan, said it this morning that can we become where the Bible says that we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge? I was asking Brother Phil the other day, do you think you could teach algebra? And he says, yeah. And I said, well, do you think you could really teach it? Somebody stuck you with a book and stuck you out in front of a class and said, now teach algebra. And you stand up there and say, now any question you got, I've got the answer to. Could you do that? No. I couldn't either. Mr. Dodd taught me algebra, but when my children had to learn it, I couldn't teach it to them. I had to get Jody to do that. She got the lesson. I got the grade moved on. So I'll admit to me, I was only interested in 10s and 20s, hundreds, things like that. I didn't care about x over y equals z times c minus 2. It's irrelevant. And so we can become ever learning. But if we're not incorporating what we're learning, we're really not learning. And if we're not selling out, you have to be allowed the opportunity and you have to be able. You know that if you're sitting in here, it takes a certain type of personality to hear the truth ring in your ear and yet be willing to assimilate that into yourself so that you can let go of what you had before. There's things I've been taught that aren't just 100%. They're not. I don't begrudge them. I'm learning how to work with that and mold it into what I'm being taught now. I wish I had came here before I went to Searcy. Might have had better luck, but that was our little schoolhouse. But this morning the song said that, and if you could put that song up, the song you sang, isn't it? No, not tonight, but this morning. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One look of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. Then it says the word glimpse in there, does it not? Or does it? One glimpse of His dear face. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Did I just say that? You quoted it and I said it and still didn't hear myself say it. There it is. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small. Yes, indeed. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, you know that we didn't see His face, we're seeing it. Brother McGowan was saying that to us, and Brother Painter did a good job talking about where he'd come from, where he is, and where he's going, and what the church is, and how we see Christ and things, and I appreciate everybody's input into the service because it helps feed my soul. But when we see that dear... the glimpse of His face that you see is when you first start coming to the Lord. And if you don't catch a glimpse of that, just a small vision. Don't you wish God could just, but He wouldn't. If He'd just reveal everything to you right now, today. Close your eyes. He's going to take you to a place you've never been. He's going to show you your beginning, your end. He's going to show you the deepest things. We couldn't handle that right now. And if a preacher got up and preached it, we would say, he's done went off his rocker. Because we have to take that in steps. I feel like I got a lot of compliments. Heard a lot of people tell me that they really appreciated we was gone that Sunday. And they all got into a big discussion on the resurrection. I told Joe, I said, my Lord, here we are up here. She said, what are we doing? I don't know. She said, we're going to the land of Ono. I said, oh no. We're headed back home. Now we are. And we weren't there for sure. But if God could just pour all that into your mind right now. See, what you have after 20 years or 50 years is more than just a glimpse. But it was that very first glimpse of Him that allowed you to start this walk. And the Bible says in Isaiah, isn't it, says that no wayfaring man, this is a holy, highway of holiness. No wayfaring man, no ravenous beast shall wander therein. You know that in here a beastly nature can't survive very long, because there's something in here. If it's not a message that helps to crucify that, then it's the spirit that comes in, and it helps us, as Colossians says, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, so that we can receive what God has for His people. And it's not all just about just making the biggest sacrifice of all. If you go back, we hear so much about sacrifices, but if you go back to Isaiah, the first chapter, he told them, he said, I'm sick of your sacrifices. I'm tired of them things. All that smell, don't you know that's the biggest stench? You ever burn your hair? I remember one time Bruce Moore, Brother Bruce, you'd have to really appreciate Brother Bruce. He had a big rotund belly, and he'd sleep in church like this, and he'd snore. Sometimes he'd just faking it, but he'd still do it. When I was young, I got a kick out of it, but as I got older, it was real annoying. But his car died right out in the middle of Main Street and First. I mean, four-way intersection, and there's cars backed up, trucks, and it was a station wagon, and had a carburetor on. It was a mid-'80s model or early 80s model, and I ran down there with the thing of gas, popped the hood, and threw the carburetor off. I was going to dump some fuel in it to see for sure if it was a pump or something. You know, you're just trying to figure out what's going on with this car. And just as I dumped gas in it, he floorboarded it and hit the key. And it blew such... I had like a... It was an antifreeze jug full of gas, and it just... It all exploded right in front of me, all in my hand. Blew up in my face, and it hit the hood and rained down on me and blew me out from underneath the hood of the car. And it burned off all my eyebrows. All my nose hair. I might be willing as I get older to let that happen again. If you don't think that one's good, you ain't old enough yet. Trust me, you'll get there. You'll know more about that as in the sweet by and by. But that thing exploded right in my face. Here I thought I was in control of it. I was just fixing to tell him, hit it. But he hit it just a little prematurely. That thing exploded, and I lost all kinds of hair out of the deal, and it stunk. Now imagine that's what God smelled. Those sacrifices are just endlessness. There's nothing to them. People just doing the same thing and expecting a different result. He gave us the Holy Ghost, and there's a scripture in Romans that tells us that I reckon that the suffering of this present evil time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Other scripture says that the whole world's groaning, waiting for that. You know what's waiting for that glory to be revealed in us? There are many people just hoping, just waiting, that God will turn this thing around. Yes, what is that, 8:18? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's not going to be the glory of how good Jeff Pryor is, but that's going to be the glory of how good God is. Jesus always turned the glory back to the Father, and if we can do that more collectively, then what can be obtained through that? He's looking for sincerity. He's looking for truth and a heart that's willing to serve Him in sincerity. And I don't mean sincerely wrong. I mean he's looking for, I thought Brother Smith gave an excellent example of that this morning, how that he's going to skip upon the hills and leap upon the mountains. And I love the way he explained that. It really, it clicked with some of my thoughts, and I hadn't heard it quite put in exactly that terminology or from that angle. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate just getting to add another piece to the puzzle. You ever build a big 500-piece puzzle and all the colors look the same? The first thing you start identifying is what? Primary colors. Let's get the blacks. Well, let's get the border first, and then we'll get the blacks, and then we'll get the whites, and then we'll start getting all these little blended colors and the 50 shades of gray and everything else that goes in there, and the fuchsias and the pinks and the purples and all these colors. And they're all so close together. Well, I think that's where we are down here in this age. We've got the outline of this. And we've got the primary part of it figured out. But it's in those little intricate colors that we're still working. We're still trying to have the visual acuity In life, your eyes don't reach their perfect visual acuity until 7 years old. Ain't that right, Zach? Seven? It's what they taught me in nursing school, so I don't know if it's changed. Somebody asked me the other day about something about medicine. I said, well, I don't know. Do they do that now? They used to not do that. Everything evolves, does it not? Why is it that everything evolves, but I'm not evolving? Why is it that everything evolves, but the message isn't evolving? Everything expands upon itself. Truth's going to lead to truth. Faith's going to lead to faith. Well, it's not that it's not trying to evolve. It's not trying it. It's because I'm too resilient to allowing it to have it, that place in my heart. And so we can... let's see here. There's a scripture. I think that one of the key things that we need, I just lost it, was where Paul had told Timothy in the third chapter of Timothy, he told him, Brother Smith has said this a few times, but how that know those that labor among you. Not just their name. Brother Painter's laboring among us. I mean, he's like me. We're junior varsity. I guess we could call us that. I don't know. We're down here. We're not the top dogs for sure. But to know those that labor among you is not just to know their name, but it's to know their spirit, their motives, their comings, their goings, what they would think. That's why a son knows his father so well. And so whenever you look here in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and I'll start where Brother McGowan started this morning. I think I'll start here in 7. It says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do also these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou, he's talking to the church, or he's talking to Timothy, I'm sorry, hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, even his persecutions, his afflictions. And he's telling him this for the reason, the sole purpose, that he understood that whenever he told him to follow me, as I'm trying to be led by God, that I'm not going to lead you astray. I'm not going to lead you astray. I went through an episode with my dog here a while back. I got where I was keeping him inside. He's a really good dog. And I was keeping him inside, and he seemed to behave himself real well, and he'd scratch the door when he wanted out, and I'd let him out. But then he got to where he'd wander off when he was out. He was just getting gone. Sometimes he'd be gone 2 or 3 days. So I brought him back, and I got him a new cable, and I put him on the cable. You know he's a lot better dog right now than he's ever been? You say, well, he's just trying to trick you to get off the cable. He's not concerned with getting off that cable. I want to be able to understand what is being asked of me. This is one of the most common things I hear is, what is my job? What's my place? I've even asked it many, many times myself. What's my place, Lord? I've been sitting here getting my lessons. I've been sitting here doing my studies. I've been trying to do the right thing. Don't know that I've always succeeded in that. I'm trying to relearn what is the purpose. See, God has a hierarchy. Brother Linger said this. He said, I believe that every place has leaders, and every leader should answer to a leader. I can get you the tape of how he said that. And how to work in that capacity. You know that if you've been smitten, smoted, how do you say that? Smote? It's not smitted. Smitten. You know, it's easy to not want to have confidence in what God's working with, because it's not lining up with what I'm wanting done. You ever have a plan and it just don't work out the way you wanted? You ever think that you had something figured out and then it gets a monkey wrench thrown in it? You know, God's really good about that. My wife's real good about that too. Yesterday, we had it figured out how we was going to do our remodeling in the house. So she told me she wanted a day shopping. I said, okay, well, go do your shopping. Have a good day, and you got some money, and bon voyage. So she left. She came back home. She said, I want to show you something. So she broke out her phone. She started showing me all these pictures. And she said, well, I think we can do this and this and that. Well, in my mind, I'd already figured out how it was going to be. So she's telling me this thing, and the more she's telling me, the more aggravated I'm getting. Because I thought I had it figured out. Huh? She's the one who told me what we was going to do. We went through all the stores and discussed this and draw out plans and talked to representatives and had it all figured out the way it was all going to go down in the house. In our mind's eye, we done had it figured out. Not so. So I started getting frustrated. You know that happens in church? It happens in church, especially for me. May not for other men, but for me it happens a lot because I think I've got it figured out, and then the man starts showing me something different. And God starts opening my eyes to something different. I'm thinking, well, God, that's not the way that was. He's saying, no, that's the way it is. There is a God, and I'm convinced that I ain't Him. And so I'm trying to learn where I've been placed and learn Brother Smith, and I've been all over the country with him, been to foreign country with him, and learning to put my confidence. You know, the Bible says to cast not away, therefore your confidence will have great recompense of reward. That's not just a confidence in the Word of God or a confidence in the faith that you have. There's different types of faith, but that's confidence in His ministry too. I'm confident God's going to do what He promised. I'm just not confident man's going to do what they promised. But if I'll learn to have more faith in God, He'll make sure man does what, because as Brother Nathan said, he's going to have the church where he wants it when he's ready for it to be there. That's just the way it is. And we look through our lives and we see things that happen to our loved ones. We see things that happened in our past. And I'm part of a forum that, on a gaming forum thing that I play. Two nights a week I play it now. I don't play it near as often as I used to. Probably not as much as I'd like to. But I said that a man that lives in the past has no future. And those that don't learn from the past are bound to repeat it. If I keep just doing the same thing that I've always done, I'm always going to be the same thing I've always been. We say that. And so I appreciate seeing the movement in the ministry. I appreciate hearing the thoughts and as he said before, pencil it in because it may be subject to change. But I think that if God adds truth to us and He starts to open our eyes to that, we should be confident and comfortable enough to move upon that to a large degree. Otherwise, we're not backing and we're not supportive of what God's doing. That's just my thoughts on that, for what that's worth. I'm not going to belabor a point at all. I appreciate the messages that we've been hearing, and the thing that God's dealing with me about right now and has been is getting from a physical, emotional state to what a true spiritual worship is. Not just being up in the air for the sake of being up in the air like a roller coaster, but trying to develop a true spiritual walk with Christ, and I'm struggling with some of that. You know that? I'm trying to to endeavor to get my mind more girded up, keep my mind more prayed up, and try to be a better witness on the job, and especially in my family. Especially in my family. I ask that you would, please, pray for me and my family. My family needs some prayer. All of us. I always thought that I could manage everything. But I'm finding out that as my children get older, I'm not able to manage that near as well as I thought I could. And I'm learning to have to let them have their own mind, just as God in the ministry lets you have your own mind. There's nobody in here making you do anything. You're here because you love God. You're here tonight because you love the Lord. You're here because you know that there's something greater and you want to be a part of that. You're here because one day you caught a glimpse of Jesus years ago and you thought, I want to go see what the full face of what that is. One day when I seen His face, it looked like somebody through a stained glass window. But through our life, we all suffer. And we all have broken bones, don't we? We all need somebody to mend those broken bones. We all have places in our life that are disconnected. And then that don't count what we do to ourselves. And the turmoil and the trouble we put our minds through in our life through because we're too busy living with what happened yesteryear. And so as I'm learning to work with my teenagers, I'm remembering what I was as a teenager. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I wish I'd been just a little bit better teenager. And my children are really good, okay? It's just that I have a very certain way I like things done. That's the way I want them done. And I'm finding out that it just don't work quite like that. It's amazing, ain't it? God has such a way through life to teach us all about it. And that's just the way it is in here too. We can be a teenager church, or we can be, you ever seen Bible says, just right ahead of where I was reading there in verse 6, that it gives a list of people, the types of people. And it says, and such. I used to think that the people that could come lead away a silly woman church was a wandering star. But that don't read that way. It doesn't read that way. I used to think it was just somebody would come around and like somebody would come around my wife and we were off her feet. Well, I thought that. But I find now that when I actually get down and read it, even though I've read it, ain't it amazing what you read yesterday and you read it today and it all of a sudden it don't read the way you thought it read? And you think, did they change that on me or something? I know I just read that. I've read that scripture. I've even preached that same scripture. But yesterday when I read it, it was saying something different. So what am I going to do with that? And it gives this reference here. It says that, and such are they. It's in Timothy. I'm so used to going to Revelations here that I grab my Bible and just falls to Revelations. Back to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, says, this also know that in perilous times shall, that perilous, in the last days, perilous times shall, I guess you can tell why I misread things, it's because I read really fast. I have to really make myself slow down, and some of that's just because that's how I learned to read and cram for tests. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Just, you know, he put incontinent in there because they can't hold anything. They're not able to hold the good things of God at all. They most definitely are not pitched within or out. And if they gossip, you know, that, I'll just leave that alone. It might be uncolorful. It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of, for of this sort, see, of that sort of man are they which creep into houses and lead captives, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. You know, we're not supposed to worry about that in the body of Christ. I don't believe we're a silly woman. But we can be. And I can be a part of that woman, and I can be silly in it. In other words, I don't get the lesson. I don't understand the seriousness and the severity and the soberness of what salvation is. This is just a social gathering for me, but there's a whole lot more to this than that. For of this sort are they which creep into the house. And they just ease in here. This is not the first time that they've had this problem in the New Testament church. There was another time that they had that same problem. Acts 20th chapter, when Paul said that after my departure shall men come in, grievous wolves shall come in, not sparing the flock. And he said, but also of your own selves shall men rise with corrupt minds, teaching perverse things. Let me get back with my thought here. So this is a common thing and a somewhat common theme that happens within the confines of the church. What we have to ask ourselves is, am I that? Am I being that part of the person, that part of this? Because if we are, we'll never reach to where Brother Smith was preaching. We'll never reach to that justified life. It's an impossibility. And if we're just led about with silliness and the divers lusts, which are just different lusts, different things that capture our eye and lead us away, then we'll never reach that place. And I'm not the spearhead of this whole thing of how to reach a justified life. I'm just another person on the trail with you guys, just trying to get down the journey of life, trying to be saved to the best of my ability, trying to let the word be engrafted into my heart just as you have and are. See, if I teach my wife to lock the doors and close the windows, but she don't do it, I can't complain. I mean, she can't complain when we get robbed, can we? If you're taught safety measures and you don't do them, you have no recourse whenever something happens to you. So I do appreciate, I'll stop right here, but I do appreciate our ministry. I do appreciate that we are ever learning, but I do believe we will come to the knowledge of the Son of God. I believe that there is a lineage and a line that ties us back, and it's through the Holy Ghost, but it's not just through that. It's through all the people that has kept the Word of God alive through by hook or by crook or however way you want to get them through the dark age period, however way you want to get them here, by revelation of truth. It has taken dedicated men countless hours of their life. They gave up their life on their knees in prayer and study to help me and you. And so I want to be one that's willing to honor that. I want to get to the place where I don't hold any bitterness in my heart by a past offense. And if it's that old, why am I offended about it anyway? If you can't remember the offense, why bother? Some people just like having rocks in their shoes, I guess. I appreciate the Little Rock Church. I haven't known you but a couple of years, but I think you're a good group of people. I count myself with you. Whenever we left Wilburton, we went to Fort Smith, we bought a couple of houses, and then we left and went to Searcy for 4.5 years. We've been here for 2 years. We've been gone 6.5 years. But when we moved here, do you know everything just felt so easy together, getting a home? You know what that was like? I pulled into the driveway the other day, and Jody come outside and met me, and we walked around the house, and I said, boy, it's nice to own a home again, ain't it? And how easy it was. I mean, I'm self-employed, and it don't matter that I make decent money, or I have made decent money. It's hard to prove your money. Especially because you want to not show you made any money. So that you don't have to go try to find a fish with a coin in its mouth to pay your tax bill. And so, you know, you kind of play in that gray area between complete honesty and trying to save a few dollars, and then you got to prove how much you make so you can get a house because you picked too much of a house. But you know, God, we don't lie on our income tax. I'll just say that. But I use absolutely everything that I can, shoelaces included, as a business expense. I buy a pair of shoes every 90 days, whether I need them or not. But we came here and was met with just such great open arms by both assemblies, because you are just one assembly. You're just one assembly. The Little Rock Assembly opened their arms to me and my family, a displaced citizen, a refugee. And we came in here and we found the, as it says about, is it Naphtali that's supposed to be a safe harbor? Is it Naphtali or Zebulun? One of them two, I think, ain't it? Is a safe harbor, and we found a safe harbor to where it was calm waters, comfortable, nice gentle breeze blows through the church. Go spend a few days in the desert. You'll appreciate it more, I promise. I appreciate God's spirit that He gives us. My greatest desire has been and will continue to be a part of what God's doing, to be a part of the body, to be a part of what He is actually doing. Not just a fragmented piece of it, but a piece of that, of the core of it. And so I thank God for that. And thank you, of course.
Always let me be thankful. feed my soul and keeping your hand on me. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart. For every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul. Flooded my soul. For every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Though I should give my life, dear Lord, and suffer for your name, though I should turn aside from wealth and shun all worldly fame, the price I've paid, I know my Lord could never be enough to pay the debt I owe to you for such undying love. Glory has flooded my soul. For every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart. Glory has flooded my soul. For every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you.
the Lord. Well, it's been a good day. I agree with Sister Pryor. I felt good all day here. And it's good to have Sister Brenda, Brother West, tonight. Y'all need to keep praying for them. They had to go back home and take care of things at home, but they just made a quick turnaround, came back to help Brother Dave and Sister Gail take care of Sister Elsie and Brother Al. And they're trying to sell their place up in Missouri and talking about moving south. So pray. I'd love for them to get down here among us and get in here and help us. And I was glad to see Sister Wallace come in back there. She snuck in, she thought, but I saw her. Oh, I appreciate Brother and Sister Wallace. Praise God. Let's give him a praise before we go home. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness to us. Your blessings, O Lamb of God.